20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy weekend, happy Saturday. I am Jason Perrone, along with Mark Eckel. No Paul Breddle. Paul is, I'm going to assume Paul is Wisconsining, which whatever that means for this weekend. So, Mark, happy weekend. Okay.
Same to you, Jason. And I think Paul just needs a break. That guy writes like 100 stories a week.
Yeah, Paul is Dairyland Express. Like, I jump in once in a while, and I mean, we're talking like, you know, very minimally. Life is just kind of what it is right now. But yeah, Paul is very busy over at Dairyland Express. He does great work. If you haven't been over there, and while we're on the subject, before we get kicking, maybe we go in reverse order this week, Mark. So over at Packer Report, you've been doing this cool series on the top Packers of all time by jersey number. Where are we at in that list?
The 50s just ran on Thursday, and so the 60s will be coming up next Thursday.
And the burning question everybody is going to want to know in the 50s, of course, is Kyler Fackrell number 51?
Let me think about that. No. I forget who was. I've always been bad with numbers. I mean, I don't know why. Like, I mean, the obvious ones I know. But I mean, like, even covered the Eagles all those years, I just, for some reason, I don't know why. And I'm good with numbers, like, in math and stuff, but I never remembered like the average guy's numbers. I knew Donovan McNabb was number 5, obviously, and you know Troy Vincent was 23, Brian Dawkins was 20. But like certain guys, I just I don't know. I just never. I'm obviously the same with the Packers. So like I really had to look everything up and do my homework and all that. I can tell you that 52 was Clay Matthews.
Right. I think you kind of hinted at that. I think you hinted at that last week. I mean, you know, it's a fun exercise because you go back through and you're like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that guy. What about a situation where, obviously this isn't a great example in itself. But like, all right, let's say you're at 50, right, and you're like, okay, you got AJ Hawk, right. You're like, oh, that's right, there's that one season of Hardy Nickerson was with the Packers. Now, obviously, Hardy Nickerson is not going to be your choice,
right?
But just stuff like that, you know, where you have to make a decision. So,
oh yeah, oh, there's been some tough ones. There's been some very, very difficult. Some are like Clay Matthews was very obvious and easy. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr. I mean, they're doesn't matter who else wore number 4, who else wore number 12. But no, there are some that, and they play the same position. So you really got to look, and then you can compare. That makes it a little easier when they're both wide receivers, or they're both linebackers, or they're both, you know, corners. You have a little, but the different eras sometimes play a factor in it too. And
right.
I kind of went for success a lot of times. Like, I'll put a Lombardi player sometimes ahead of a guy that played in the 70s, you know, late, you know, or even 80s, you know, because hey, he was a part of 4 world titles or 5 world titles. I mean, that gets him a little bonus, you know.
Sure.
In my mind, you know.
Yeah.
But there have been some difficult. But here's what I found so far, and I don't want to give anything away, but so I did the, you know, 1 through 9 and then 10 through 19, 20. So I've done 6 stories so far. There's been at least one Hall of Famer in each group.
Wow. That's good.
Pretty impressed. That tells you something about the Packers, right? I mean, you know, at least one. A couple had 2 and 3.
Right. Well, and they've been around for 100 years, so you would hope that as a fan of the franchise, I want that to be true because I want the legacy and the history of, I mean, the Green Bay Packers, whether you agree with it or not, I think belong in the same conversation as great franchises in history like the Yankees and the Celtics and the Lakers.
And I agree.
Stuff
and the
like
Canadians.
That. Yeah, yeah, right. So,
oh no, I mean they have the most world titles. So, right. You know, yeah, if you have the most, you got to be talked about as, and they, you know, they had their dark days. They had the dark days between Lombardi and Holmgren. That lasted longer than it probably should have. But you know, since Holmgren, I mean, it's been the Packers fans have been kind of spoiled. I mean, I know they've only won 2 Super Bowls, but they've been pretty good year in and year out from 91 Holmgren came in. So from 91 to 2020, there's only been a few hiccups along the way.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and we're going to talk.
Them, and a few usually came with because like the quarterback got hurt or something, you know?
No, we've been through that enough. I mean, you and I at least have a lot of examples of that. Even before, well, Favre didn't miss any games, even though he did get hurt. Yeah. But even before that, there was issues, you know, the Mikowski days and Lynn Dickey had injury problems. In fact, the story on Lynn Dickey is he, you know, he's probably a Hall of Famer if he doesn't have issues with health.
No, he was so good. He was good and he was tough. God, he got beat up. I like Lynn. I mean, to me, the bad era wasn't Lynn Dickey. The bad era was the Scott Hunter, Jerry Taggy, you know, John Hadle when they traded the worst trade in NFL history, maybe.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, and that's the other side of history that I don't want to be on, and it's kind of a good segue right into what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, we are. That's a good
well, segue. That the segue was just. And you could also argue the Packers might have made one of the worst draft choices in revisionist history, which is Tony Mandarich.
And, you know, it was. It will go down as one of the – especially when you look at the four players picked right around him. You know, like Aikman went one, he went two. Barry Sanders, Deion Sanders, and Derek Thomas for the next – you know, I mean, so you have, like, all Hall of Famers and Tony Mandarich. But guess what? I covered that draft. I didn't cover the Packers. I was covering it, but I was covering the draft. Some people were ripping the Cowboys for not taking Mandarich for one instead of Aikman.
Right. That's to say, Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. There's a lot of examples through history of you know, oh, you made the wrong choice, and no, they didn't. And look at the Bears with Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
Right. I mean, that's the same position. So that makes it even worse. But
yeah,
I mean. The Packers thinking, and I guarantee you, if the Lions had the second pick, they would have taken Mandarich, not Sanders.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs had it, they would have taken Mandarich instead of Derek Thomas.
Sure. I mean,
he was the one or two pick. I mean, to get what was supposed to be a franchise, one of the best left tackles ever, that's more important than a running back or a cornerback. It really was.
And, well.
And it turned out they had these things called steroids became illegal.
Right.
And well, Tony wasn't the same player again.
Well, and what have I said several times about the important thing you need to know about a player in addition to what they can do on the field? What's between their ears? And I think Tony Mandarich now, when you go back and you listen to him, and he knows he was a meathead. And I, you know, I think that's kind of what he was. So that's you're making decisions in real time when it comes to the draft. We talked about that this past couple months when the Packers took Jordan Love. You're making decisions in real time, and if you don't think that it is not a huge deal when your job depends on the decisions that you're making, and sometimes you have to completely reinvent your decision in a 10-minute period of time, and that's going to determine the fate of your career. There's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on these GMs. Yeah,
it's real easy for us as a writer covering it or a fan sitting home watching it to make decisions. You know, they should have done this. Hey, why didn't they do this? But we're not. The gun isn't our head, and our job isn't on the line.
Right.
You know. But getting back to that draft too, I mean, I remember the last game. I remember the last game of the '88 season.
Against the Cardinals.
Well, the Eagles played the Cowboys.
Oh, Pack. That's right. Okay.
I'm in Dallas covering. I'm writing my story about the Eagles winning the NFC East for the first time in whatever many years because they beat the Cowboys to win a division. But the game on TV in the old Texas Stadium press box is a Cardinal Packer game, the 4 o'clock game, and the Cowboy people like right behind me in the press box is. The former Cowboy general manager at Tex Schramm and a couple of his assistants and stuff. And they're all watching the game and they're cheering like crazy for the Packers because that gave them the first pick. If the Packers lose that game to the Cardinals, Packers get the first pick and maybe they take Aikman. And if they take Aikman, guess what? Brett Favre spends his career in Atlanta probably or somewhere else, but not Green Bay.
Right.
So the whole world would have been different.
Totally. Totally different. In fact, I remember watching the end of that game because I was living in Wisconsin at the time, and I was at a local spot in the Mequon locale, and I remember, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think I think the Packers, didn't they have to make a field goal at the end of the game to win that? And otherwise, they would have. Was it a close game?
I thought they won pretty handily.
They might have. Yeah, and of course that
Mikowski had a really good game, and the story was, yeah, he didn't want them to take Aikman. He wanted to keep his job.
Right. Well, they made the right choice, obviously, at the time, because you assume Mandrich is going to work out. Yeah. But if they don't win that game, they only win three, and chances that then they're, you know,
they get the first pick, and they probably take Aikman.
Oof, yeah, so many things.
And Aikman was actually at that game.
And does Troy Aikman do with Lindy and Fonte the same thing that he did? I mean, and remember, everyone has to remember something. The Cowboys were trash in 1989. They were not good. And then Jimmy Johnson came in and he brought all of his college, you know, the ranking systems and his scouting and all that kind of stuff. And then the Vikings handed the Cowboys the 90s, which of course, if you can't beat us by with your own 52-man roster, go ahead and make another team better and let them beat us, right? So, all right. Well, the topic of the day today, this is why I always love doing this, because we always get into these fun, you know, and you and I also have a longer history with the Packers than a lot of the other guys and gals that are on the shows. But so we're gonna go through Mark's and my favorite Packers games, favorite plays, and favorite players. We're going to do a couple each, and neither of us knows what the other's answers are, so this will be fun for us.
And again, keep in mind, we're talking our favorite, not our favorite. The best.
Right, not the best, favorite, right.
So, right. Is a guy that is, don't tell me I'm wrong, because there's no wrong.
Right.
It's my
right.
favorite.
Right, and there's other reasons why. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
So I've got a
favorite could be for a million reasons.
Right. Well, I've got a list of a couple of different options, but I'll let you start off. So let's start off with favorite game, and we'll go with your top choice. What is your process for determining what that is?
Well, I just thought about what game, you know, still stands out in my mind, and obviously any of the four Super Bowl wins should be all Packer fans on your list, because it's the ultimate game, right? I mean, it's the game that that's what you play for, to win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, they're among my favorites. One, you know, beating the Chiefs, beating the Raiders. I think the Chiefs game, I don't even remember that well. The Raiders game, I kind of do a little bit, because that's when I really first start watching. And this game's on my list because it's the first game. It was almost going to be my favorite, but I was too young. But it's the first football game that I remember watching, like not just a couple plays here and there of, but like the whole game with my father and my uncle, my brothers, was the Ice Bowl. I was only 6 years old, I think, but I remember watching that game, and I remember like my uncle and my father and everybody saying, you know, how, my God, it's like it's whatever below, and it's so cold. Look at this game, and Lombardi and Landry and blah blah blah. And my uncle kept saying, Landry never beats Lombardi. Landry can't beat Lombardi. They were friends back in New York, and because my uncle actually knew Lombardi. They were friends somehow from North Jersey. Landry will never beat Lombardi. Landry will never beat Lombardi. And then came down to the last play, you know. But so that's very high on my list. That might be number two. But my favorite game, and this is going to throw people off because it wasn't even a playoff. Of all the great playoff games the Packers were in and all the big wins, but my favorite game, and I watched it not too long ago again, was the Monday night game against the Redskins.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It was just an unbelievable game. And to watch it again, like by today's standards, it's an unbelievable game. 45, what was it? Final score was what, 45-44? I hope I got that right. 47-45, whatever it was. But it was just an incredible, incredible game. You talk about Lynn Dickey. He was incredible that night. I mean, if you like defense, it wasn't a great game, I guess, but it came down to the Redskins Mark Moseley, who was a great kicker, missed a field goal at the end of the game that would have given the Redskins a 1-point win. You know, Paul Kaufman had a big game, Lofton and Jefferson. That was that point-of-minute offense the Packers had back then, where that offense was just unbelievable. Unfortunately, the defense wasn't very good, and that's why they went 8-8 that year. But the Redskins went on to – the Redskins got to the Super Bowl that year. They didn't lose another game. After the Packers beat them that Monday night, they didn't lose another game until they lost the Super Bowl. So that was a pretty good team that they beat that night. But I remember that game. I remember watching. I can tell you where I was. I was at a bar called the Yardville Hotel. That's where I used to go to watch Monday Night Football because they put out a nice little halftime spread. And it was just it's my favorite game. It always will. I mean, like I said, it certainly wasn't the most important game or any of that, but it was just such a fun game to watch and the ups and downs. And you thought they, you know, they're going to win. Oh, no, now they're going to lose. Oh, they took the lead again. Oh, now here comes the rest. Oh, Mosley's going to beat them. Oh, he didn't. So it was just that's my favorite.
That's an awesome answer. I don't remember watching that because I had just moved to Wisconsin as a youngster when
you
that
were pretty
game.
Young at 83, you were pretty young.
Yeah, I was 7.
Yeah.
So I'm the same age my son is right now. So yeah, I didn't get into watching the Packers until a couple of years after I moved out to the Wisconsin locale. And I came from Illinois, but I wasn't a Bears fan. I didn't follow football. I wasn't into sports. I was a baseball kid.
Okay.
And so football didn't really come into my life in a big way until I was almost done with high school. But yeah, that one's historic. That one kind of reminds me of it ended in a different way, but that playoff game between the Packers and Cardinals where there was just no defense. Like it was just every time the other team had the ball, they scored. There was a ton of points.
I wrote about that game last year for Packer Report on my Throwback Thursday stories, and there's some interesting things about that game.
The Cardinal game.
Mark Murphy was the safety for the Redskins in that game.
Oh, in 83. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Current Packer president was on the Redskins that night, and he made a good play on one, but he also Kaufman beat him a couple times for some big plays too.
Sure.
And OJ was doing the Monday night games at the time.
Yeah, so many different things back then.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it was
that's a good one. That's a really good one. Well,
that's my favorite. I mean, have you ever watched it? Like from
I haven't watched the whole thing from start to finish. No, I haven't.
Go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and look it up. I mean, if you can watch it in like a half hour on YouTube, because obviously they cut out the commercials, they cut out the huddle. I mean, it's just play after play after play. It's worth it. It's worth a half hour of your time to watch that game.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the good ones in history. Unfortunately, we've, you know, one of the silver linings of all of this that's been going on with no sports on TV is we've gotten a chance to rewatch some of the classic games on TV. Like I was at a restaurant last week, and socially distanced, of course. And my brother and I were just catching up. We had, you know, it's been a while since we'd gotten together. And all of a sudden, he looks over my shoulder and he's looking at something. I'm like, "What are you looking at?" And he goes, "There's a Packer game on, and it looks like they're playing the Cowboys, and they were replaying the 2016 divisional playoff game with Rodgers to Cook."
Right.
And so we both got up and walked over there, and we spent the next like 45 minutes just standing there watching the game as if it was on for the first time. Like it was, it's fun to do that. It's fun to rewatch some of that stuff. You know, I mean. I have a hard time watching some of the old stuff now because I'm starting to get my nostalgia's kicking in. I don't know if it's me getting a little bit older or whatever, but it's hard for me to watch like Rodgers with Jennings and Nelson and Donald Driver and I just I miss that. I just miss that. It's different now. Those guys were so good. That was such a good team. It was such a good team.
It's funny, like you say, I'll watch, like I'm like you. If I'm out, or even if I'm flicking around the TV, and that game comes on, the Packer Cowboy game, I'll watch that. Or if you know, any of the Super Bowls come on to the Packers, I'll watch it.
Sure,
but I won't watch a loss.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
Right?
They lost, but it was such a good game. Like you know, I'll watch it again. A couple of my Twitter colleagues, I'll call them, and actually, you know, same for you too. Zach Jacobson comes to mind, okay? Because he, for some reason, has rewatched the 2014 NFC Championship game many, many times, just by his own choosing. And I'm like, I haven't even watched a single highlight. Like, if that game is on, or if there's something on the screen from that game, I will look down. Right, left. I will look away from the TV. I will never watch that game again in my entire life.
No, I won't watch the kickoff of it. No,
never, never.
I'm not watching the Eagle game. The fourth. Everybody calls it 4th and 26. I call it 4th and 1.
No,
I won't watch that game.
No, no.
I won't watch the overtime loss to the Giants.
Nope. Oh God. No, that was awful. That was awful because you spend 3.5 hours putting all your hopes and dreams into watching a game and it's all burned into your memory, and then it all comes down to this awful, awful decision by Favre. That was another thing too, is for as much good as Favre brought to the table, you got the overtime. You got overtime against the Eagles after the Eagles tied it and forced overtime. That his trying to throw to Javon Walker, like, really, like that. The interception when he's trying to find Driver. Then he does the same thing in a Vikings uniform. He throws this stupid pick over the middle of the field.
I didn't mind that one.
Well, no, of course, but it's just, you know, it's just those are the kind of things that just absolutely kill me. And you might hear me bring that up again a little bit later on when we talk about
plays
or players. You never know. Okay. So for me,
we just talked about our three worst games. So now tell me your
favorite game. All right. So I have a couple here that I've got in the list, and I'm going to add one on the fly. The one I'm going to add on the fly is the Monday Nighter at Oakland in 2003.
Oh yeah. Okay. Favre's father.
A lot of reasons, obviously. I won't call that one my favorite because I've been fortunate to attend a lot of Packers games. And so for me, it was, you know, it's hard for me not to pick a game I was at. Right. So, but there's a couple that I wasn't at in here. So if you want to go in chronological order, the first special game for me that I experienced as a Packers fan that I actually watched live start to finish. So yours was the Skins game. Mine was, this is not the first game I ever watched, but the special first game was the reversal in 1989 when they finally beat the Bears.
Oh, okay.
And they had that, you know, the Mikowski to Sharp and the, you know, will it, won't it, the drama back and forth. I'd never seen the Packers beat the Bears at that point. There were a lot of reasons why. And another thing that people don't remember is they had also another really big win that season on the road against the champion San Francisco 49ers. They beat the Niners in San Francisco in 1989. That was the Niners coming off their back-to-back, so they had just won it in 88, and they were going to win it again in 89, and the Packers beat them in their house in 89.
Shame they can't do that now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. They only win in Dallas. They don't lose in Dallas anymore, and they can't beat the 49ers, which is the complete opposite of what we remember from 20 years ago.
Yeah, right.
So I had to, and actually to that extent, another game that I had on my list of possibilities was the divisional win after the 95 season in San Francisco, because the Packers surprised the hell out of the Niners there. I mean, they got out to a hot start, and they had a couple of turnovers that you know, they caused a fumble. They punch it in. And then they had, let's see, there was two turnovers. I think they had two turnovers because then they had the fumble return for a touchdown.
Newsom returned for a touchdown.
And suddenly they're up 21-0. It's like, oh, that's going to be tough for San Fran to come back from, as we saw. So I had that listed. I had that one listed too. I had to put. I didn't do any of the Super Bowls because that's too easy. It's too low hanging fruit. Right,
yeah. But obviously they're among your favorites because they're Super Bowls.
Well. To get to the first time that I – because I didn't watch the first two Super Bowls because I wasn't around yet.
Right.
So my first Super Bowl was 96. So the NFC Championship game against Carolina was very special. And then you get in – then you start getting into the probably the two top games that I attended, one of which was when the Packers faced the Vikings with Favre at quarterback in 2010 at Lambeau Field on Sunday night. Okay. I was at that game. And – I was living in Phoenix, and I traveled up and spent some time in Chicago visiting with family, and then made my way up to Wisconsin. And at that point, I was only getting to a Packers game once every 4 or 5 years in Green Bay. So for me to get up there was really special. And I was as nervous for a game. I don't know if I've ever been as nervous for a game that I was going to as that one, because I just so badly wanted it I wanted them to win. I wanted them to beat the Vikings and finally beat Favre, because Favre shut them out the year prior. They swept the Vikings, swept the Packers, and then they had that nearly Super Bowl run. So that was a fun game because finally we picked off Favre. A.J. Hawk had an interception. Dez Bishop has a pick six in that game. Nick Collins had an interception in that game. Aaron Rodgers threw a dumb one to Jared Allen, too. you know, Moss is back with the Packers, so I get to see Randy Moss or with the Vikings. I get to see Randy Moss in a Vikings uniform. Should have been with the Packers, but and there was some controversy there. I think there was a touchdown. The Vikings got waved off. They said that Shanko didn't catch, but I think he did, and that might have changed the outcome of the game. But I don't care. But here's what I'm gonna go with, because I was in the house for this one. I'm going Packers over the Patriots in 2014 at Lambeau Field. I was there. And that was a season we knew the 2014 team was really good. They curb stomped the Panthers. They curb stomped the Eagles. I assume you were at that game.
Yes.
They just boat raced the Eagles. They dominated the Chicago Bears. Peppers' first season, they had that big Thursday night win over the Vikings. I mean, they were on their way. And beating the Patriots that season, because New England was kind of reestablishing their, you know, themselves in getting back to Super Bowls, because it had been a while since they'd won a Super Bowl, right? The last time they'd won prior to they're gonna end up winning it that season, because Seattle screwed themselves out of it. But the last time that the Patriots won a Super Bowl, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was following the 2004 season. So it had been a while. But the Patriots were still really good. But that victory solidified, like, hey, if the Packers can just get there, they can win the whole damn thing again in 2014. And they should. They should have. And we all know how that season ended. But that was it was a fun game. And I think about it. And actually, that was the first time in probably five or six trips to Lambeau Field that I ever saw the sun out on a game day. All the other game days, all the other games I've been to were either cloudy, snowing, raining, or the Sunday night it was a night game.
That was the first time
I saw the sun at all, which was barely at all. Richard Rodgers catches his first touchdown, which was a nice floater from Favre. Jordy Nelson had that beautiful slant he beats Revis on, and he takes it to the house. And then at the end of the game, the Packers need a clutch defensive play. And Mike Neal and Mike Daniels combined to sack Brady for the first time in the game. And it was kind of that moment where you knew that things were going to go well. And in fact, I think after that sack was when Gostkowski missed a field goal. Like, all the weird things happened. But it was just so cool to see the Packers beat Bill Belichick and see it in person.
Oh, sure. Because that was a noon game?
It was a 3 o'clock. It was a late afternoon game. Okay. Late afternoon game. So yeah, that was a fun weekend, and I think the guys that were signing autographs that weekend at the team shop was Craig Hentrick and Don Beebe. So I got a chance to meet two guys from the 96 team that won the Super Bowl. And it was funny, because a lot of the people going through that were wanting Beebe to sign, they all had like mini Bills helmets. And they wanted him to sign their Bills helmet. I'm like, I didn't realize there were so many Bills fans in Wisconsin. So I'm going with that one as my favorite, and I'll be honest. Had I not been there for it, I don't think that one's my favorite. I think I would have picked a different one. But that was a favorite game that I attended, which was amazing. I mean, I was at, I watched the win over the Seahawks in 2016. I was at the game where they beat the Vikings in 2016. I'm trying to think of some other special ones. The walk off win against the Niners in 2018, but that season ended so poorly that I have a hard time putting that one up there, you know. And the Niners were terrible. That they weren't good that year yet, and they had a third. Bethard was their quarterback. They shouldn't have had to walk it off at the end. But I've been to some fun ones. I've been to some fun games for sure. So that was my favorite game. Now we go to, or were there? Did you have any others? Did you have like a runner up, Mark?
Well, yeah. Like I said, probably. I mean, other than the four Super Bowls, some of the ones you mentioned too, like that win over San Francisco, that's very high on my list. I'm going to say another one very high on my list was not too long ago when Rodgers came back and beat the touchdown pass to Cobb.
Yep.
With hardly any, seconds to go to beat the Bears to get in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's very high on my list, just because of the whole thing. You know, Rodgers being hurt, he comes back. They need to win. They do. The other one, another win over the Bears, what that they had to win that game to get in the playoffs in 2010, last game of the year.
Yep.
They had to beat the Bears just to make the playoffs, and then they wind up going to the Super Bowl.
And that game was...
I can name 100, probably.
Well, that game, wasn't it like 10-7? There was hardly any scoring.
Yep. So the opposite of the one that I like.
Which is not surprising because Jay Cutler is terrible. But, and, of course, it's fitting that Nick Collins seals the win with a pick because Collins throws 10 feet over Devin Hester's head. or Cutler. Cutler throws 10 feet over Hester's head. I remember that one. There have been a lot. There have been a lot of really good ones.
Oh, yeah. I could do 100. I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm not
I mean, you know, the win over the Falcons in the divisional round of 2010, right. Finally beating Philly in their house, because I never saw them win in Philly the week before in the wild card round.
They hadn't won in Philly.
Yeah, since the 50s or something, or maybe before that. I don't know. It's been a long time. Yeah. Been a really long time. Well, some of these, spoiler alert, some of these games you might hear referenced again when we get into favorite plays. Because now, I only counted games and plays that I actually watched and saw in real time. And I'm holding myself accountable if I got nervous and walked out of the room I was one of those back in the day. I was known to leave a room, or I would even leave a bar early when it looked bleak. And so if that happened, I excluded it from like favorite plays or favorite games. Because I just had this sixth sense of like, okay, that's it. It's not going to. And there was a couple times when it bit me in the butt. And the two biggest ones I can think of off the top, the three that I can think of off the top of my head was opening game 1999 against the Raiders, when Favre throws the touchdown to Jeff Thomason, and then Favre breaks down in his post game conference because he was just so taxed. And they beat the Raiders opening week. The other one was the Monday Nighter overtime against Denver, Favre to Jennings.
Yep.
Didn't watch that. And I also left early in 2011 when I didn't think they were going to beat the Giants, and they beat the Giants.
Wow. Okay. I don't have any of those. I'm not one of them leave the room guys. Now, again, I didn't see, I mean, keep in mind, I'm going to miss, you know, I covered the Eagles for a lot of years. And somehow, some way, I got to see more Packer games than you would think I did, even though I was covering the Eagles for whatever reason. I mean, the Eagles, both teams were pretty good. So the Eagles played some night games. The Packers played some night games. A lot of them played four, you know. So I got to see way more games than you would imagine. But I did miss a lot because, you know, if they're playing the same time, same day, obviously I was at the Eagle game. But I have a good list. I have a good list. So what's your, you can go first this time. What is your favorite play?
Well, I have a list again. So I have a list of favorite plays. One of which is probably going to raise some eyebrows because it's kind of an interesting twist on favorite play. It's connected to the Packers, but it might not have been the Packers. It was the Nate Poole touchdown to beat the Vikings in 2003.
I remember that.
I listed that one because I'm watching the game against the Broncos wasn't very exciting because they beat the heck out of the Broncos. Right.
Broncos didn't care.
But, yeah, they didn't care, which is great. I'm glad they didn't.
Right.
But the Vikings having to lose to the Cardinals, and me being such a, you know, Cardinals, what's the opposite of sympathizer? you know, I just had no faith that they were gonna get it done. And then Josh McCown.
Were you living in Arizona at the time?
No, I was in Orange County, California.
Okay.
But the Green Bay ended up on TV a lot out there that year. I was lucky, and it just ended up that they were on TV that week. But I didn't think the Cardinals were going to beat the Vikings. And
Josh McCown.
That's how Josh McCown was born that day. You know, his career was born that day. So, and he's still playing in the league. But so I had that one listed as an outlier, just to kind of, you know, ha ha, funny. The other ones that I had in consideration were Al Harris pick six against the Seahawks.
Okay.
In 2003, we want the ball and we're going to score. No, you're not. Al Harris to the end zone. I have he did what which everybody should know based on those three words. That was Al Michaels on Monday night after Antonio Freeman somehow bounced the ball off of his foot to beat the Vikings Monday Night Football in the year 2000. I mentioned being at the Seattle game in 2016 when they beat Seattle. So I had the touchdown to Adams to lead that one off, because when you're in the house for something like that and it gets off to that good of a start, that's the place just erupts, you know, it goes crazy. And so that was a product of me being in the environment for it. I had it listed. I don't have it as my top, as my favorite. I also listed, so we talked about the Atlanta divisional game, the Tremont pick six at the end of the first half.
Yep.
That was big. That was big, because that defense just had so much sway, and it was awesome. And Tremont had such a great career, and that season really launched him. And it reminded me that for one season, I think 2008, it's surprising to me that they didn't do better. They had both Tremont and Al Harris. It's like two corners that were kind of similar of the same mold. And if you could have synced them up when they were both healthy and at their peak, that could have been the best 1-2 combo in the league. You know, Tremont and Al Harris. But I had the pick six versus Atlanta. Then I had Magic to Sharp to beat the Bears as another option in 89, okay. The reversal game. But right. I ended up going with the first Hail Mary to Richard Rodgers to beat the Lions.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see it live.
Because you dream about your team winning a game that way, like with the Hail Mary, and you know they have to win it. And at that time, it was the beginning of December, and the Packers were still trying to fight their way. Like they had had a slump in the middle of the season after they started out 6-0 or 5-0, and then they had a slump for a while, and they needed to finish strong. And losing to the Lions was not going to help their case at all. They ended up losing the division that year to the Vikings. So if they don't If Rodgers doesn't catch that, you know, Rodgers to Rodgers doesn't happen, the Packers, I don't know if they make the playoffs in 2015. But the Hail Mary to Richard Rodgers, like, because it was just, you know, I got excited like a little kid again, running around the house. Like, I nearly woke up my infant son at that time. I was just, you know, screaming, Richie, 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 when it happened. So it was because of the magnitude of a Hail Mary and how improbable it is that they actually get caught. Now, little did we know, we would see not only two more happen within a short period of time, but there would be another one that very season against the Cardinals in the playoffs, Jeff Janis, right. And then another one the following year, Randall Cobb against the Giants in the wild card. So that was my favorite play, was the Hail Mary to Richard Rodgers. Now, your bank of plays is probably much more robust, so I am very excited to hear what you got.
Well, believe it or not, like I said, I'm with you. It has to be a play that I actually saw.
Right.
You know, and it's funny that the Hail Mary, I didn't see that, but I heard you say, I was out of town, that it was a Thursday night game,
yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I remember being in New York for something. And so I'm coming back on the train, and I'm watching the scores on my phone. And so I didn't see the play, but I just saw, you know, it's whatever down in distance it was, yard line. And I'm thinking, they're not winning this. I can't believe they're going to lose to the Lions. But, and then it's like, Rodgers complete to Rodgers, 50, whatever many yards, touchdown. I'm like, oh, my God. So I can't count that, because I read it on my phone, but I didn't actually see it. So I can't count that. I'm going to go way back, and I guess I mentioned the Ice Bowl, first game I ever saw and, you know, watched the whole game with my family. So obviously, Bart Starr's 1-yard quarterback sneak behind Jerry Kramer to beat the Cowboys and win the NFL title is on my list.
Fair.
But I'm too young to make that really my favorite play. But that's on my list. Again, beating the Cowboys in the playoffs, Rodgers to Cook. Great throw, great catch. You know, a crazy game where it looked like the Packers were going to have it in hand. The Cowboys make a great comeback. It's tied, you know. Cook makes the catch. Crosby kicks the field goal. Packers win. So that's in my top five. This was, you're going to say, is, you know, me being me, but Aaron Rodgers taking a knee at the end of the Super Bowl win over the Steelers. You know, taking a kneel down because that they won the Super Bowl. That was the last play of the game. And then, you know, he takes the knee, the game's over.
So you would pick that, you would pick that over, let's even say, like Tremont breaking up the pass to Wallace?
Well, only, again, I'm being a little out of the box there because
Very specific, yeah. But I mean,
it's not a great play. It's just, it was the meaning of the play.
Meaning of it, right.
They're taking a kneel down so they could win. You know, that's a great, it's a great play to me. It's one of my favorites because it means they won. He can take a knee because they won. They, you know, the game's over. I got a Tremont Williams play for you, but it's not one that you mentioned. It's his interception of Mike Vick in the end zone.
Yep, I thought about that one
in the first round of the 20. Again, I was there, and it's always good for me when the Packers beat the Eagles because, you know, I get to write about the Packers beating the Eagles
in front of Riley Cooper, who's in front of Riley Cooper, who is not my favorite player of all time. Well, I can tell you that.
I like Mike Vick a lot. Mike Vick is one of my favorite players for a lot of reasons. But it was, I mean, for him to throw to Cooper with Williams on him was not one of Mike's better decisions. But that's where he went.
And, well, but Tremont, you know, the one thing about that play, think about this. I think Tremont Williams just got underestimated. I don't think anyone realized how athletic he was because he's running with Cooper, jumps and turns in midair and catches that ball. He did the same thing the following week against Matt Ryan in the end zone. He had almost an identical type interception against Matt Ryan. He made those plays. Now, the interesting thing about that play, Mark, and I won't steal your thunder, but what could have been disastrous about the Tremont pick against the Eagles? You remember what happened immediately after he caught the ball?
No,
he didn't make the move to give himself up in an official way, and because he caught the ball, and he got up and started, hey, I'm going to celebrate, but he didn't stay down long enough. It's like how they say that you have to complete the process of catching the football.
Right.
He didn't stay down long enough to give himself up, and so he gets up, takes a few steps, and then he goes down again. To remember, like, okay, I had to give myself up here so the play ends before he fumbles.
Because it could be something awful, yeah.
Well, and the thing about that, too, is 2 weeks later in Chicago, Sam Shields gets a pick to seal the win against the Bears and send the Packers to the Super Bowl. But as he's returning the ball, it gets knocked out of his hand. Unfortunately, one of his teammates falls on it. Mm-hmm. So you got to be
– that also, in that pick, the reason that's on my list, too, is I think, again, that was a game – it looked like the Packers had it in hand. They had dominated most of the game. Looked like it was going to be a comfortable win. And then Vic all of a sudden, you know, start being Vic and brought the Eagles back. And then they have the ball, the last drive. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, they're going to go down. And then, you know, thank God he threw to Cooper and Tremont was there and Tremont makes the pick. So that's on my list.
You were in the press box.
Yes.
So what was – I know you're all professionals, okay? You can choose not to answer this and exercise your Fifth Amendment right. What was the reaction in the press box when that play happened?
Again, it's nothing. It's like, okay, game, we could write now. I mean, again, it's different. I'll come out now honestly and tell you, yes, I wanted the Packers to win that game.
Sure.
But no, just like the 4th and 26 game, I can't let it affect me during the game while I'm writing. When I get home, I could, you know, do some damage to things around my house after the 4th and 26 game, and I could be very happy and celebrate after the 2010 game. But, no, I mean, I've been that way my whole life. I mean, I didn't throw anything. I wasn't upset. I mean, I was upset, but I didn't show it when the Eagles beat the Packers, and I didn't celebrate or jump up and down when the Packers beat the Eagles. And for the most part, I mean, I'm sure there were some Eagle writers that, you know, the other way around, wanted to celebrate and wanted to be upset because they were Eagle fans. But for the most part, it was, you know, it's business as usual.
Right.
The worst thing about a writer – I always say this, I always root it for myself. I don't root for either team. I root for myself, and that you don't want, like, you hate, especially like a night game or a late game. You don't want a comeback. because you got your stories in your mind.
You got to rewrite the whole thing,
Of your story. You don't want to have to change your whole story. You know what I'm saying? So you don't. We don't like big-time comebacks. We like a team to get out to the lead and hold on and win, and then and you write your story. Yeah, you don't like to see a team. I mean, it's fun as a fan to watch a big comeback, but not as a writer. I mean, and even now when I watch games, I haven't covered, you know, I haven't been on a beat now in about 4 years, but when I'm watching a game, sometimes I flash back and I think about the guys covering the game saying, oh, this isn't going to be good. if this team beats it, oh, that's not going to be good for those guys. They're all yelling and they're all tearing their hair out right about now as this comeback goes on. All right, back to my list. So I got what I said: Tremont, Cook, the kneel down, Stars, Run. This one's on my list, but I don't remember enough about it, so I couldn't make it my favorite. But do you remember the win over Dallas when Rodgers was hurt? Matt Flynn was the quarterback.
Yep.
Eddie Lacy had like a
and they were down. Run. They were down like 21-3 or 18. Yes. They were down by a lot, 24-3, and they went into halftime, and then all of a sudden, like Eddie Lacy just took the damn thing over.
Lacy's touchdown run. That's on my list, but I don't remember enough about it, so I can't make it my favorite. But my favorite is the one that you mentioned, which is good. We're on the same page. And Antonio Freeman. Just the most, mainly because it was incredible. I mean. You thought it was, you know, you're watching, I'm watching the game, and, you know, Favre throws it up there, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. Incomplete. It's crazy. And you're like, what? Wait, what? Just like Al Michaels said, right? He did what? But, I mean, yeah, because you're watching, you're thinking, oh, my God, he caught it. It's going to be a touchdown.
Right.
I mean, it was just, there's very few plays that I could say were like, I mean, I've seen some great plays, but they were, Cook's catch was a great catch, but I knew he caught it. There's been a lot of great plays, but you didn't realize. I mean, you did realize it was a great play. Freeman's, I thought, was an incomplete pass. I thought, there's no way he came up with that, and then all of a sudden, he's in the end zone. You're like, and it's beating the Vikings. I mean, I hate the Vikings more than anybody. I don't like the Bears, but I hate the Vikings.
So yeah.
Anytime the Packers beat the Vikings, I'm that's got to be on my list of favorite things anyway. So
in any way,
that's my number one favorite play.
Well, and so there's a parallel here. Your favorite play involves a win over the Vikings. My favorite game, one of my runner up favorite game was beating the Vikings.
Yeah.
So it just that we're in lockstep there. We're in lockstep there for sure. So those are all good. Those are all great options there. And I was kind of hoping, because you're usually pretty good about remembering the important ones, and I'm like, Mark's probably gonna bring up a couple that I'm gonna say, oops, yeah, I forgot about that one.
No.
I think you
hit some good ones there.
Yeah. Well, and again, like you said at the beginning, it's hard, there is no right or wrong answer, because these are all, some of these have personal meaning to us.
Sure.
So
there are some, I'm sure, guys even older than me will bring up during the Lombardi years. I mean, I remember Stars, I remember, and I did see it live, and I've seen it 8,000 times since, I read books about it, but I mean, I'm sure there were hundreds of plays involving Paul Hornung and Jim Taylor and Willie Wood and Herb Adderley and Ray Nitschke, and I can go on and on that, but I didn't see them, or I don't remember enough about them to put them on my list. I was too little then,
Right. Which is fair. And so moving into favorite players, that's another thing too, is that I didn't really start getting into football. 1989 was the first year that I really focused and like followed the team all season, because it was just kind of the running joke, like, oh, the Packers played yesterday, so what else did you do? Prior to that, it was just kind of like,
that's a pretty good start.
89 was good. 89 was good. Well,
89 wasn't bad, and then because 90 by 91, they're good.
Well, I was a baseball kid, so I followed follow the Brewers, I watched or listened to every single of the 162 games in 1989. That was actually a fun Brewers season, too, for those of you who are Brewers fans who want to go back down memory lane. That was a fun season to follow, too, but it ended badly, obviously, because the Brewers didn't make the playoffs, and that was back when you had to win the East, and there was only the East and the West. There was no Central, and there was no wild card. And they'd lose every season. They'd be in it up until the last week, and then they'd fall out and lose. And then I'd be like, okay, I have no baseball now until what's next, basketball, and then or football. So I picked up football, started following it, and that team happened to be fun. So I stretched from 89 all the way till now. So I really had to think long and hard about it. But I was able to pay homage to the kind of beginning, the middle, and the end, and recent with some of my options that I had. But I want you to go first because you've got some really good examples and some relevance to some names that we've been hearing for many, many years and some legends.
All right, well, I'm going to start with my favorite. I'm not going to do it the opposite. I'm going to give you my all-time favorite Packer. He always will be. For someone to pass this guy, it's going to take a lot. That's Bart Starr. Again, first game I watched, he scores the touchdown. So I thought it was I'm a little kid. I thought his name was cool. Well, Bart Starr, that's a cool name. And I remember as a little kid also saying, like, oh, so the guy named Starr beat the team that wears the star. I thought that was pretty cool, too. Again, I'm six, seven years old, so I don't, you know, what do I know about anything? But, and then the more I read about him and the more I learned about him, and then I finally met him when I was covering sports. He actually came into Jersey to give a speech for some, whatever he was doing. And just like this, the greatest guy, but one of the greatest people I've ever met. On top of who I still think he's the greatest quarterback in Packer history. I know people talk about Favre and Rodgers. I'll take Starr. And I know that's going to get people upset, but that's okay. Yeah, he's my favorite Packer. And I have his autographed jersey hanging. I've had it since 1990, that he personally autographed for me. It's Bart Starr, and everybody else is fighting for number two on my list of favorite players. But I have some other ones. Some guys that I know personally, Reggie White, who I also got to know very well, another great person on top of being the greatest player I've ever covered, but also a great guy off the field. I mean, the things he's done, everybody knows about, you know, man of the Lord, just, you know, funny guy. I mean, Reggie will tell you some, he was funny. He did impersonations. He was great at it. I'll tell you a little story about Reggie that, and he found this kind of funny too. I used to joke with him back when he was playing for the Eagles. Practice was still open then. Nowadays, the practice is open for like 10 minutes. You get to watch him stretch, and then they make you go inside.
Right.
Back in those days, you know, we watched the entire practice, or as much as we wanted to. I mean, if you were busy writing, maybe you would miss some, but we were allowed to watch from start to finish. Reggie was a terrible practice player. Which most people don't know this or realize. I mean, he kind of went through the motions in practice. And until Buddy Ryan would say, Reggie, he'd yell, Reggie, come on, I need you. And then Reggie would go and, like, you know, throw three linemen out of the way and get to the quarterback. And you didn't hit the quarterback, but you would just, like, kind of tap him.
Right.
So Reggie, you know, he could do whatever he wanted, whatever he wanted, but for the most part, he kind of went through the motions. He really didn't. If you didn't know better, and you were just watching practice, you'd say, "Who's not 92? He's not much of a backup. He's not very good, right?" Because, you know, he didn't put it out. He saved himself.
Right.
So I used to joke with him that I said to him one time, I said, Reggie, you know, you always talk about being a man of God. I said, you're the opposite of God. He looked at me and what? And we got along good, or I wouldn't have been able to, you know, talk to him like this. But he said, how do you mean that? What do you mean by that? I said, well, God created the world in 6 days, rested on Sunday. I said, you rest for 6 days and do all your work on Sunday.
Right, yeah, right.
He kind of liked that.
Yeah.
But he was, so he's on my list. A guy that you had mentioned earlier is on my list. That's Al Harris, who I also got to know from covering the Eagles. You know, there's a lot of players that played for both the Packers and the Eagles, as it turns out. But Al's a guy that I just admire because, you know, he was went to a small school, very unheralded. Tampa Bay actually cut him his rookie year. The Eagles claimed him off waivers. It was a no big deal when they claimed him. We thought, who's this guy? They're bringing him in. They'll probably cut him, put him on the practice squad or something. But he made the team. He was behind Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor, two Pro Bowl corners, his whole time there. But just worked hard, one of the hard, just the opposite. He was one of the hardest workers on the team. And like in practice, I mean, he would go, he just, you know, he made himself into a very, very good corner.
Incredible.
So I always admired that. Again, just a guy that I happened to get along with very, very well. So he's on my list, obviously. And then another guy that I really like a lot is Dorsey Levins. Just like the way he played, like the way he ran, you know, he was on those, you know, those Favre, you know, white Packers. But I mean, he never became the great, great back, but he had some, a couple really, really good years for the Packers. So yeah, that's some of the guys that are on my list. But Star will always be one. But yeah, Reggie and Al, because I actually know them personally. And then I really like Dorsey Levins.
You know, interestingly enough, and I'm sure that it's probably more coincidental than anything, that I think most of those guys spent some time, at least some time, with the Eagles too. And there was a lot of Packers Eagles, you know, in the eight.
Yeah.
The other three did, but you're not going to get any argument from me. I mean, '96 will always be special to me. And if you allowed me to include the Super Bowls in there, it's going to be Super Bowl 31, because it was the first Super Bowl that I got to see and enjoy my team win. And it was the first championship of any kind for me. I hadn't had a baseball or basketball or hockey or lacrosse or, you know, badminton team win any championships before that. So, in fact, if we had allowed Super Bowls, I might have also said my favorite play was 29 Razor, Favre to Rison.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that was, you know, kind of our symbol or our sign that, like, hey, we can do this. And it's ironic that the Packers beat the Patriots, because little did we know in the future that those two teams would kind of become two of the top. And everyone's been pining for a rematch between those two teams. Now the dream is over because Brady's gone. And it's not the same. I mean, the Patriots might make it to the Super Bowl. And hell, I mean, if the Packers end up playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, great. I'll take the matchup because the Packers got there, but it's not going to have the same luster as it would have.
In 5 years it will, when Jordan Love versus Garrett Stinn, whatever his name is, Garrett Stinn, whatever his name is.
Or if Trevor Lawrence ends up being really good.
I don't know if they're going to get Trevor Lawrence. But.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I don't want to pick any players that didn't start and end their career at the Packers on this list, but I ended up breaking my own rule. So I had to.
There aren't many. It's hard to find guys anymore that started and ended.
Well, two of the three top ones did, and then but ironically, my top choice didn't. So my number one, I'll do the same thing you did. So my number one choice is Charles Woodson. And part of it is because
nothing wrong with that.
I have a lot of empathy towards defensive backs, because for my one very lackluster year of football I played in high school, I was a safety by title. I didn't play, and that's, you know, I always laugh and I tongue in cheek say, I mean, because I wasn't good back then, but I tongue in cheek say part of the reason why was because I played behind longtime Bears safety Mike Brown, who went to the same high school that I did here in Scottsdale. And so I'm like, well, you know, when you play behind Mike Brown, you just, you know, keep his seat warm on the bench. So, you know, I didn't get in the game very much. And in fact, he played both sides. He was running back and a safety, and he was just as dangerous with the ball in his hand as he was as a defender. Let me just tell you that right now. The only concussion I think I've ever confirmed received in my life that I know for sure came from Mike Brown, a hit I took from Mike Brown. And he was the ball carrier. I was the defensive guy. So that matchup didn't end too well. So Charles Woodson. For me, it's Woodson. Yeah, I mean, because how many interceptions did the guy have? How many of them went back to the house? He was so clutch. He was so reassuring back there. You just felt so much better knowing, like, hey, listen, they could have three me's back there in Charles Woodson, and they'll still be okay. You know,
that's – Ted Thompson didn't, you know, play free agency much, but thank God he did there.
Hit a home run there.
Grand slam.
Well, it's a cool – it's a cool story, but, you know, if he don't want to come see us, we'll go see him about Barack Obama when the Packers were getting ready to go to the Super Bowl, and Woodson gets hurt and only plays half the Super Bowl, and they actually had to end it. They had to, you know, the kneel down to end 45 is a big deal because a lot of people don't remember. They had no Shields and they had no Woodson. No. It was Pat Lee and Jarrett Bush and Tremont Williams, and, you know, thank God they got Nick Collins. But who was the other safety back there? Do you remember who the safety other safety was in Super Bowl 45?
Wait, let me think. I will get this. Wasn't Charlie Pepper, right?
It was.
Okay, Charlie Pepper.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, come on, man. Charles Woodson, you know, the ghost of Woodson, you know, all these guys. And I like to think that, you know, a lot of those younger guys probably elevated their games because they had a Charles Woodson there. And look at Tremont Williams still to this day. He's passing on his knowledge of how to study. He learned that from Charles.
No, absolutely. No, you got no argument with Charles Woodson.
So Charles Woodson's my number one. Reggie White, kind of a 1A, because, come on. I mean, Reggie White transformed this. Everyone talked about Favre and Wolf and Holmgren and all that kind of stuff. Reggie White made Green Bay an okay place to be again, because prior to Reggie coming to Green Bay, Mark, you remember this, other teams used to threaten their players if they didn't shape up, we're going to send you to Green Bay. Exactly.
Well, you do know my story. Maybe not. I don't think I did that. I was doing the podcast with Jake when I told this story on the air, and I wrote it. Do you know how I was involved in Reggie becoming a Packer?
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, give it to us.
You never heard this story, right?
No.
I mean, some of our listeners have, because I said it before. That's why I didn't want to bring it up. I don't want to, but maybe we have new listeners. So this is this honest to God, true story. None of this is all right. Reggie's an Eagle. But he's a free agent. We all know he's not coming back to Philly. The Eagles have made it clear they don't really want him back. They didn't make him an offer. Reggie wants out of here because he hates the owner. The whole thing. So we know he's leaving. All the writers were trying to get a hold of him. His agent at the time is Jimmy Sexton, who's a very good guy, very good agent. Jimmy calls all the beat writers and says, listen, I know all you guys are calling me, want to talk to Reggie. I'm going to put him on a conference call with you. It's Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Here's the number. Call this number Tuesday, 1 o'clock. Ask him whatever you want. We're going to get it out of the way now. And then, you know, don't bother us again until we sign. Great. Thanks, Jimmy. Okay. I called a number Tuesday, you know, a couple minutes before 1. I call. And the thing comes on and says, the conference line is full. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? I called Jimmy's office. I talked to the secretary. I'm like, listen, I'm supposed to be on this call. They're telling me that it's full. Hold on one second. Jimmy comes on the line. Mark, I'm so sorry. I can't, you know, I only gave the number to so many people. I guess other people must have given it to other people. I don't know, but listen, I know you've always been good to Reggie. I know Reggie and you get along very well. Let him do the conference call. I'll have him call you. After he's done, I'll have him call you personally. I said, great. Okay, I'll take a one-on-one over a conference call anytime, right? I said, okay, fine. About 20 minutes, half hour goes by. Phone rings. Hello? Mark, is Reggie. Hey, Red, what's up? You know, thanks for taking the time. No problem. So I'm asking him a lot of, you know, typical questions, whatever. And then at the time, most of us, or at least I did, I can't say most, but a lot of people thought he was going to sign with the Redskins. It wasn't far from Philly. You know, Joe Gibbs was a big, you know, big Christian. Reggie always admired Joe Gibbs. He could stay in the NFC East and play the Eagles twice a year. There's a lot of reasons pointing to him going to the Redskins. So I asked him pointedly. I said, listen, Reggie, I think you're going to sign with the Redskins. Tell me, what does another team have to do? You know, why wouldn't you sign with the Redskins? And he says, Mark, listen, I'm not going to say that the Redskins aren't high on my list, but I'm going to give any team that wants to sign me, I'm going to talk to. I'm going to go visit. I'm not making no hasty decision here. I'm going to talk to every team that wants me. So, Reggie, every team wants you. You're going to get 31 phone calls. No, believe it or not, you know, some teams don't even, you know, they're not, I guess they don't want to pay or whatever. He says, I said, well, you had to have heard from a lot. Well, I've heard from, you know, whatever many. He said, but there's only one team that I haven't heard from that I would like to hear from. I said, who's that? He says, Green Bay. Now, again, the fan in me wants to like scream, but I just say, oh, really? Green Bay, huh? What? Why Green Bay? He says, I really like their coach, and I think this young quarterback is going to be really good. Now, if you remember, Favre had beaten the Eagles the year before in a game in Milwaukee where he separated his left shoulder in the game and still played with one arm and beat him. So that kind of impressed Reggie a little bit, obviously. So anyway, I write my story about Reggie going here, and I write my story. Now, I'm good friends with Bob McGinn. We were good friends. We're still good friends, but he's covering the Packers. And after I write my story, I call Bob and I say, hey, I don't know if you're writing anything off season or what you're doing notes. I said, but here's a little something you might want to know. And I tell him what Reggie said. He goes, oh my God. Yeah, I'll write something about that. So I give him the exact quote and everything about the only team that hasn't called him is Green Bay. And he likes to coach. And he thinks the quarterback's good, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Bob writes a little story. Ron Wolf sees Bob's story. Calls him. Wolf calls McGinn and says, where'd you get this stuff about Reggie White wanting to come here? He tells him, a friend of mine covers Eagles, talked to Reggie. Reggie told him this. Bob says, Wolf says to McGinn, is this real, you think? He says, I'm pretty sure it's real. The guy, Reggie, knows the guy, you know, my friend pretty well. This is what he told him. Wolf calls Reggie. $17 million later, he's a Packer.
Oh, my God. Well, so, Mike Holmgren called him and said, Reggie,
well,
it's God.
God, yeah, right. But, I mean, they weren't involved. I mean, so I kind of, you know, I didn't tell that story publicly for a long time because I didn't feel it was, you know, but I've since written about it, talked about it. And I told Reggie came back to Philly for something. I forget why. After he retired, I forget what it was. He came back, maybe just the honor. I don't know what it was, but he was there during the week, and he came by practice one day, or came by the media workroom, and I saw him, and we got talking again, and I said, did you ever tell that, you know, I told him what had happened. I said, remember you were on a conference, you know, the whole thing, and when you talked to me, you kind of remembered a little bit about that, and I said, and you're the one, you told me that you wanted to go to Green Bay, but they hadn't called you. Yeah, yeah. I said, well, I called my friend and blah, blah, and I tell him what I just told you. And he looked at me and goes, you did all that? I said, well, yeah. And he went, thank you. He said, that was the best, because that was the best move I ever made going to Green Bay.
So when you found out that like he signed, did you kind of almost pass out? Knowing your connection to the whole, Yeah.
I tell you where I was when I found out. I was in a dentist office. Again, I got some crazy stories. I was in a dentist office, and it was something. It wasn't like just a cleaning. It was, I was getting a lot of, I don't know. I was going through some. I had some dental problems at that time. Whatever. I forget. It might have been a root canal or something serious. But my dentist was like a guy I knew pretty well, and he knew I covered football and stuff. So I'm in there, and he's working on my tooth and blah blah blah. And I guess, I don't know if he heard it on the radio, news, whatever, but when he's done, he says to me, hey, you're going to like this. I said, what? You're not charging me? He says, no, I'm charging. He says, but Reggie White just signed with the Green Bay Packers. I said, what? He's like, yeah, it came on to wherever he had heard it. I said, oh my God. He went, I know you're a Packer fan, right? I said, yeah, yeah. I said, but I'm involved in this in a weird way. And I immediately called Bob and we both said, do you believe this? Like cause you know, writers, we sometimes think we're more important than we are, like we can make things, but we really did make that happen.
That's incredible. I've never heard that version of it obviously before. So that is pulling back the curtain in a huge way.
I mean, you know, it's weird. Like and again, if I was on a conference call, maybe I don't even ask that question. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't give that answer. I don't know. I mean, it's just, the whole thing was weird.
Like, oh my God!
Because when you're talking to a guy one on one, you ask him different things than you would with 10 other guys on the line with you, you know. And he probably answered things differently too, being known just talking to me one on one. I'll never forget him saying, "There's only one team that I wouldn't mind, you know, talking to that, but they haven't called." Green Bay Packers. I'm like, to myself, I'm saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah. That's incredible. Well, so the rest of my dumb, I mean, you know, so my.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was, that all day. That could have been a show of its own. So I was going to say.
It was. I did that with Jake.
Well, Woodson, so Woodson was my choice, but the other options that I had, Favre was ineligible because of the whole Minnesota tryst, so he wasn't eligible for it. I mean, gave me a lot of great
memories. He's not one of my favorites.
Well, gave me a lot of great memories as a.
Great player.
Kid growing up and all that, but the Minnesota thing disqualified him. And actually, I think I want to save this topic for another show because I know we have a couple more shows before training camp starts. Maybe start compiling some of your interactions that you had with Favre, and maybe we can do story time with that.
Okay. There aren't as many as you would think.
Right. Well, because you didn't cover the Packers, but you know, I'm assuming once or twice you might have crossed paths.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna say, Leroy Butler was my second choice.
Oh. I know what, he should be on my list, and I for some reason I just didn't.
Well, the reason why is because Butler transitioned from the crappy Packers teams, and he was still with them, and actually transcended the safety position, was a key player on a really good team. So it's like, I loved Butler when I was a kid, even when the Packers weren't very good. I knew he was really good. And then he ends up being like one of the best safeties ever to play the position.
And he invented the Lambeau Leap.
Although, you know, I keep hearing that there's controversy about that. But
he won't do it this year. They won't be able to do the Lambeau Leap this year.
Yeah.
Well, they can still leap, but you're going to leap into a tarp.
Yeah, leap into a tarp, which is another topic of its own. But 2B, I mean, Leroy Butler is 2A. 2B has got to be Aaron Rodgers, you know. Okay. How can he not be on the list? I mean, the joy that he gave us from 2009 to 2016, it's hard not to at least mention his name. But Charles Woodson for me. But that Reggie story kind of takes the cake. Between that and the cool story you told about how Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones is, you know, the beginning of their parting happened. It's you've witnessed some really cool moments in NFL history.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, well, I've been, you know, 32 years is a long time. You're going to stumble onto some things, I guess. You know?
Yeah. Well, we went a little bit longer today, but it was worth it. That was awesome.
Well, I'm actually writing. You know, I'll throw this out there. I'm writing a book with another guy named Ken Dunnick, who actually played in the league back in the before I covered it, but we're doing a compilation of stories like that, just different, like our meeting different people. Like I can go on with you later on about this, but like, you know, he met John Travolta in a weird way. I met Bruce Willis in a crazy way. None of mine involve athletes because, or I shouldn't say none. Gail Sayers, a Bear of all things, I met in a weird way, but like none of my stories are about like interviewing a guy for work, because that's work. I'm supposed to do that. That's my job. But like, just Walter Cronkite, I met one night. So it's just a bunch of different stories, like, you know, like the Reggie White story, in a way that just like strange and crazy situations I got myself into over 40 some years of doing things.
Right.
Which I hope people enjoy. I mean, they're interesting, fun, lighthearted kind of stories.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I'm sure you've got a lot of those. You know, we're fortunate.
He does too.
Well, and I'm
hopefully it'll be a good book.
Yeah. Well, I'm fortunate because obviously, you know, I've got you on the team here, and it's always story power hour when we get together. We definitely went the full hour, but again, that was great. That was obviously not anything anybody's ever heard before. So, I assume you're continuing on with your number series this week at Packer Report. Anything else?
Yep. I have a story coming out Monday about some people talking about Kadar Holman and how impressed they are with him. And he might be a little secret surprise for Packer fans coming season.
Secret sauce. The Packers could use some in the secondary. And if he steps up and does really well, that's going to help them if they can't afford to keep Kevin King, I think.
Correct.
So. Yep. Awesome stuff, man. Well, we definitely made up for Paul not being with us while he's Wisconsining, and we'll be back at it again next week in some way, shape, or form. I'm actually excited about some of our potential topics that we could go through. So this has been a good one. So I'll let you get back to life. I'll let you get back to the beach. Everybody, thanks for sticking with us and listening. And as always, go Pack, go.